Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 Scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369 for all of your Bulls and NBA questions, thoughts, and comments. We'll get to a couple pieces of mailbag later on in today's episode. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. Not only that, through the rest of the month of June, 100% of the profits for their 8 million protein bar inventory will be donated to organizations that support education, poverty, equality, and ending hate and racism. For more information, go to BuiltBar.com. Before we get to a couple pieces of mailbag, wanted to first of all wish all of our listeners out there in Bulls Nation a happy Juneteenth, the day commemorating June 19th, 1865, when Union forces arrived in Galveston, Texas, and proclaimed all slaves in the state free by executive decree. Also wanted to give a recognition to the Chicago Bulls and certain members of the organization who were out as part of the peaceful march that happened downtown through Grant Park today. We've already seen some pictures and videos emerging on Twitter. Bulls center Wendell Carter Jr., Bulls head coach Jim Boylan, and some of his staff, including assistant coaches Nate Lenzer and Karen Stack Umloff, all participating in the peaceful march earlier today that was organized by Bright Star Church Chicago. So shout out to the Bulls for showing up and being a part of the community, being a part of this movement, and recognizing the importance of this day. And on a further note there, the Bulls released a statement yesterday after the owner of the Bulls, Jerry Reinsdorf, participated in a virtual meeting with Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce that included other local sports franchise leaders yesterday. And part of that conversation was the Bulls talking about what they can do more in this movement. Some of you may have seen the open letter that I worked on with other members of the Bulls community calling for the organization to make a further statement and take further action after their initial statement following the murder of George Floyd and the swell of Black Lives Matter protests across the country and here in Chicago. Upon reading their statement, there were certainly some nice sentiments and positive thoughts that the Bulls offered as an organization, but there were certain elements to that statement that I felt were not good enough, coming up short. Condemning racism is good, of course, but I thought it was not exactly the right note that the Bulls failed to include the phrase police brutality in that statement. And not only that, they didn't even mention the police at all. And that's exactly the issue we're talking about right now. Police brutality, especially against minorities, especially against African Americans. They didn't mention police brutality, but they found room in that statement to condemn the actions of the lawless actions, as they put them, of looters and rioters in Chicago and other big cities where these protests were happening. It didn't exactly seem to strike the right note to me. So, with the help of some other people in the Bulls community, and Jack Silverstein, who spearheaded this whole idea, writing a similar note to the Bears as a member of Windy City Gridiron, the Bears blog. Many of you out there have read this and have offered your support through our text line or on Twitter. We very much appreciate that. And these are small steps that the Bulls are taking, but they did take a positive one yesterday with this announcement. A Bulls spokesperson said the following about this meeting that Jerry Reinsdorf had with the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce and other members of the Chicago sports community. Quote, "Over the last few weeks, we have started having powerful and honest conversations with our players, coaches, front office, and community leaders, and will continue to have an open dialogue about racial injustice and police brutality, especially in our Black communities. We are developing longer-term plans designed to bring us together for real change," end quote. So there it is. The Bulls finally acknowledging police brutality after they failed to do so in their first statement after the murder of George Floyd. A solid correction and a decent small step in the right direction. And on top of that, we learned that the Bulls made a couple of specific announcements about what they will be doing with paid time off for their employees. They plan to feature paid time off for each future election day, as well as paid time off annually for this holiday, Juneteenth. Two solid gestures. Personally, I think Juneteenth should be a nationally observed holiday, just my personal opinion. But the fact that the Bulls are making this gesture to make it a paid time off holiday for their employees is a strong start. I also like the fact that they are doing the same thing for Election Day, because if we want real change in this country, it has to come through us, the citizens, using our power, the power of democracy, to vote, to put the people in positions to make these changes that we want to see in our country. So kudos to the Bulls for putting some action behind their words, putting better words out there, and most of all, for members of the organization for showing up and being a part of that peaceful march through Chicago today. It says a lot that the Bulls community is rallying with this city and this movement right now. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bars are protein bars that taste like a candy bar. 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate flavors of different variety that are nut flavors, and 8 chocolate variety of flavors that are nut-free flavors for any of you out there who might have nut allergies. The bars are all covered in 100% chocolate, soft, chewy, delicious. Delicious. They truly do taste like candy bars. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy and girl. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. All the stuff you want, and not a whole lot of that stuff you don't want when it comes to protein bars. I love to start my day with a Built Bar. I'm not a big breakfast guy. I don't like putting all that time and effort into making breakfast. I just like to slam a cup of coffee and start my day. But Built Bars are a great complement to actually putting some food in that body of yours when you need that energy to get your day started. It's delicious. It's like having a candy bar for breakfast, but the candy bars are good for you. And right now at BuiltBar.com, they are offering up to 50% off everything in their inventory, everything available on their website to purchase. You can get up to 50% off. And they're also right now donating 100% of profits of their remaining current 8 million bar inventory that support to organizations that support education, poverty, equality, and ending hate and racism. Go to BuiltBar.com to learn more about these donations and being able to get 50% off everything on your order at BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. With that, let us get to our mailbag. There is an email here to kick things off from Aaron in LA, who says, "Hey guys, personally, I'm a big Wendell fan, and even though he hasn't shown what we were hoping for just yet, I definitely believe in seeing what AK can do with him before giving him up. The nature of Wendell's high IQ center profile makes me think AK will want to try investing in him before trying to actively shop him, so I'm hopeful he can make that happen. As you can tell, I'm in the group of fans that thinks and hopes Boylan drag these players down, and with the right help and player development team, they can be much better than what they are now. I'm in a pretty similar spot for Lowry. His struggles the past season have tempered my expectations, but I still really want to at least see if he can redeem himself. Obviously, if he's still struggling by the time we've had a year or two of a good front office and coach, then it's fair to move on or accept who he is as a player. I'm also very interested in Zach and Kobe, and also hope we can see them get a chance with AK regime before the possibility of being dealt. Kobe's obviously been electric, so there's an obvious desire to see what he can be. And Zach, I have a lot of respect for as a hardworking player, leader, and person in general. Even though the Bulls could probably use him well as a trade piece, for his sake and the fans, it'd be really cool to see a good guy like him succeed on this team after all's done and dealt with. I hope he sticks around and makes the playoffs with us someday. Thanks, Aaron C." So, essentially, the message Aaron has is that he hopes the core four of Wendell, Lowry, Zach, and Kobe get a shot with this new regime, with AK and Eversley and their player development team, and hoping that this new fresh step, this new fresh page that the Bulls have turned, with new leadership and probably also new coaching, we can figure out some kind of chemistry with this core four. Now, I would tend to agree with pretty much everything Aaron said here, in the sense that we've seen these glimpses of potential for all these core four pieces, but we've also seen, you know, plenty of things that concern us about just how high their ceilings might be. And is some of that on them as players for not putting the work in to get better? Is some of it on poor coaching and poor player development for a team that had not put a great emphasis on building out their player development staff? And what are the ratios of where the blame is and who is at fault for these players, these young players, not developing on this team? And as far as the keep them or trade them concept that Aaron's talking about, I think I've been in the same camp, in the same frame of mind, and I think I've said as much on this podcast that I would like to see this core get a season together to see if there's actually some buildable chemistry between these pieces and if they can improve, not just as individual players, but as a cohesive unit. Because to sell things off before you really can put your regime's concept into action might be a bit premature of a decision. And like Aaron said, if we go another season with this core and results are still, you know, middling at best, we still miss out on the playoffs another time next year, and the chemistry just isn't there, then maybe you can make some of those adjustments and move some pieces around, especially when you would be coming up on the free agency summer of 2021, when the Bulls are scheduled to have quite a fair amount of cap space available to them when there are some big stars hitting the market. And maybe after a year's worth of time, even if the Bulls are not back in contention, they make a step next year that proves they're heading in the right direction and the new regime repairs some of the damage that has been done by the old regime, especially when it comes to the public perception of whether or not coaches want to coach here, players want to play here, people in the NBA want to be associated with the once proud organization that is the Chicago Bulls. I think timeline-wise, trying to line all that up makes a lot of sense, especially considering figuring out what you have in a better system and evaluating all this young talent before deciding to make your moves about, okay, this piece is going to stay, this piece is going to get traded, this is a piece we need to bring in. Thanks for the email, Aaron. All right, this text comes to us from Kyle in Ohio. Hey, guys. I was listening to one of your recent episodes from last week. We talked about how Robin Lopez helped out our struggling young bigs last year. I was really upset when we let him walk. I understand it, but I really felt he would have been a huge asset to us this year, not only in the locker room, but on the floor. He does so many things that are underrated, and we were really missing that this year. I'm glad you guys spoke to it. Also, I love the Boylan Garpack soundboard. I giggle every time Jordan plays anything on there. You need to post a link so I can use it. Reminds me of E-Bomb's World when I was a kid. They had a soundboard of Michael Jackson and the tarot card reading lady and other things, and we used to prank call people with them. I'd like to prank call my fellow Bulls fans with sound bites of Jim. Thanks for checking in, Kyle. To that last point, as long as Jordan and or I are not held responsible for anybody phoning in calls about prank calling, then knock yourself out, and you can relay that request to Jordan about getting access to our soundboard and all of our sound bites. It does add a little something to the show, I agree. And Jordan and I have joked about whether or not we need to continue using them now that Gar is gone and likely Jim Boylan is on his way out to follow him, because they're pretty quality sound bites, but maybe we should start fresh. Per your comment about Rolo, first and foremost, just another reminder that if any of you out there in Bulls Nation are not following Robin Lopez on Twitter, you absolutely need to be. His responses and quote tweets to some of the league's announcements recently about the bubble plans for Orlando are just comedic gold. Rolo has such a great sense of humor, and he has been showcasing that recently with what I believe are sarcastic and faux complaints about the rules of the bubble and where they will be allowed to go, whether or not Rolo will be allowed to go ride some roller coasters while he's down in Disney World as the NBA season resumes, and which hotel that his team has been assigned to. It's been pretty funny stuff. And I agree with Kyle that I think the Bulls missed Rolo this year in a variety of ways. I understood that he wasn't necessarily a part of the team's future moving forward. They have this young pair of players in the front court that they're trying to develop, and they wanted to put an emphasis on that this year with Lowry and Wendell. And not to say that Rolo couldn't continue to play a role as a veteran, even coming off the bench, which he did for a significant portion of his time with the Bulls in his tenure. But I think that both parties were ready to move on. And personally, I'm happy that Rolo is now playing on a contending team. And the fact that we have both of the Lopez brothers, you know, Robin and his brother, his twin brother, Brooke, on the Bucks together is just so cool. And I'm happy for Rolo that he's getting a chance, if this season continues, to win a ring. Because there aren't many more well-liked players in the NBA by fans, by their colleagues. I think the only person who doesn't like Rolo is Benny the Bull and some of his mascot friends. but I think maybe the Bulls saw Thad Young as a replacement for Rolo in the veteran leadership kind of way. And certainly all of the young players on this Bulls roster immediately ceded the floor to Thad Young and elected him to be one of the captains of the team immediately upon his arrival, signing in free agency. And of course, you know, vets would lead in different ways. You know, Rolo and Thad have different personalities, and I'm sure that they handle locker room things a little bit differently. But a veteran leader is a veteran leader. Every team needs one or two. Or a few, and I think that that's certainly something the Bulls talked about when they announced the Thad Young signing, is the quality veteran leadership that he would bring that they lost with the departure of Robin Lopez. But I also agree about the little things on the court that Rolo does. Never super flashy in his box scores, but a lot of the little things, like, you know, sets really solid screens, better screens than Felicio, despite what Jim Boylan might be trying to argue these days. And also boxing out. That's also one part of Rolo's game that I always thought didn't get enough credit, because Rolo's never been the type of big who's hauling down 12, 14, 16 rebounds a night, but it's because he's doing the dirty work. He's only putting up 7 or 8 rebounds a night because he's boxing out for his teammates and allowing the wings and the guards to grab these rebounds and get out in transition. you know, he sets his teammates up. He's the setter, you know, in a volleyball game, and lets his teammates spike it, so to speak, by letting them gain control off that miss on the defensive glass and then start things out. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons that we saw a little less of that from Lowry this year. We kept hearing Jim Boylan preach about, well, you know, Lowry's got to get some of his own offensive opportunities by doing work on the defensive glass and then using his ball handling skills to get out and transition and get himself some looks. Well, we saw that Lowry didn't really excel with that this year. I think it's not fair to put that on Lowry and say, all right, well, the only way you're going to get touches, or the vast majority of the way you're going to get touches, is if you get the defensive rebound and then start the possession yourself. Clearly, they should be trying to make more looks for Lowry than they did at times this past season. But Lowry was one of many of the beneficiaries of Rolo doing that dirty work on the defensive glass. And I think the Bulls did miss that, as Kyle said. We'll see where Rolo ends up as his career moves forward. I think he signed just a 1 year, or maybe it would have been, maybe it was a 2 year deal with the Bucks. But, you know, he's been useful for them at times. And we'll see what they do if these playoffs do actually happen. But, you know, it's just one of those situations where, yeah, you realize what you miss when you let that player go. And maybe you didn't realize, you know, a thing that you had that you needed until it's gone. One of those kind of situations. But, you know, Rolo getting a chance to get a ring, you know, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy as far as everyone talks about him and respects him across the league. So I miss Rolo. I miss him being around the Bulls a lot, but I'm happy for him. Thanks for the text, Kyle. One more piece of mailbag that we'll get to before we wrap up for the day. But first, a message from us at the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, and wait while the counterman offers, while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com. Okay, last text, and then we'll get out of here for the weekend. This one comes to us from the 319. I'm listening to the most recent episode where Matt's talking about bringing back Tibbs, and at first I agreed bringing him back is pointless, but other than Kenny Atkinson, I think he's the next best available coach, and kind of like taking the best player in the draft, regardless of his position, shouldn't we be taking the best coach available, regardless of history? Thanks for the text. That's a really interesting question and a really interesting comparison to draw between choosing a head coach and choosing a player in the draft. Best available, or do you draft for need? Do you draft for fit? Do you draft with the context, as our texter said, when it comes to coaches, of history? Do you take that into account? And just to rehash quickly, I was talking about how not only is there the notion of the Bulls moving forward now with the new regime and going back to an old head coach that you know already spent a significant part of his tenure here, is kind of the opposite of moving forward in the way that they're moving forward with a new front office. There's also the bad blood that still exists between Tibbs and the Reinsdorfs, and they have not gone anywhere. Whereas Gar is gone and Paxson has been pushed aside, there's still, I think, some damage done in that relationship, and Tibbs has taken the high road since he was fired unceremoniously, and the Reinsdorfs said some pretty nasty things about him and blamed him for a lot of the problems the organization was enduring. That you know, there are lots of factors as to why Tibbs coming back is not only a great idea, not only not a great idea, but also not very realistic. So there's that. As far as the best coach available, I see what you're saying. And yes, theoretically, if there is a pool of candidates for the next head coach of the Chicago Bulls, assuming that AK will eventually move on from Jim Boylan, wouldn't you take the coach that has proven to be the best coach? It's hard to define that, especially if you're considering a candidate pool where lots of these people would be first-time head coaches. Kenny Atkinson has some experience, but not much, and hasn't actually been a very winning coach in his tenure as a head coach. But other names that we're hearing, like Adrian Griffin, familiar name and face for the Chicago Bulls organization, and Ime Udoka of the 76ers, it's not exactly easy to say, okay, well, which is the best coach? Well, we can debate who has the best resume as an assistant coach and other roles that they've served in organizations, but I don't think defining quote-unquote best coach is as simple as our texter makes it out to be, suggesting that, you know, alongside Kenny Atkinson, Tibbs is the best available coach. So the whole taking best available and comparing it to the draft, I think it's not exactly an accurate comparison, because something you have to consider also is the vision that this new front office was brought in to make changes and do things their way, because the way the Bulls were doing things weren't working. So the Bulls said, Michael Reinsdorf said, you have full autonomy, hire who you want to hire, run basketball how you want to run basketball. We are putting our organization's basketball success in your hands. And AK immediately started talking about finding people and hiring people, and whether that be other front office members, coach and coaching staff, player development staff, and players themselves, people who fit our vision, who fit my vision of what makes a good basketball organization, what makes winning programs. And one of the things we heard when Gar Foreman got the axe was AK talking about how they had different visions. You know, AK's was about winning and using all of his tools at his disposal as a guy who had success as a player and then beyond in his retired years as a basketball executive, not just here in the NBA, but internationally. And Gar is a guy whose vision consists of drafting guys only from the state of Iowa. So there's a difference in vision and a difference in philosophy, I believe, was another word that AK used to describe the Gar firing, that I think also is important to think about, not just when explaining moving on from an old front office to a new one, but moving from an old coach to a new one. If Tom Thibodeau and his track record of what he does as a head basketball coach in the NBA does not exactly align with the basketball vision that AK has for this organization, then that is not, I don't think, a smart thing to say, well, he is the quote-unquote best available coach, just in terms of resume, in terms of experience, in terms of previous success, to say, okay, well, then that's the coach you take. Because, and I'm not saying concretely that I know AK doesn't believe that he and Tibbs share the same vision. We haven't really heard AK talk about Tibbs at all. We haven't really heard him talk about coaching candidates yet, because he's still just saying, I need to evaluate and give Jim Boylan and his staff a fair shake, get in the room, get in the Advocate Center, watch a practice or two. So we haven't heard anything about potential coaching candidates. So we don't know what AK thinks of Tibbs. As a guy who's had a long career as an assistant coach before getting his first head coaching job with the Bulls that was very successful, you know, stops in winning programs, Houston, Boston, you know, winning a title on Doc Rivers' staff, the success he had here in Chicago, and also, you know, working for USA Basketball, which I'm sure AK respects as well, given the, you know, the length of his resume in international basketball. So I'm sure there's mutual respect between AK and Tibbs, but is there a through line of how they see building winning basketball programs? Is there a through line between how AK would like his basketball team to play stylistically and what Tom Thibodeau wants to do, knows how to do, likes to do stylistically as a head coach? I think that matters. I think that matters more than the quote-unquote best available when it comes to this pool of head coaching candidates. So there's that. I mean, I certainly understand the feeling that our texter has about, hey, like, just maybe there's some bad blood in the past. Maybe it's not a great idea to go back instead of go forward. But maybe Tibbs isn't a sign of going back. Maybe Tibbs is just a sign of he's the best coach available, so hire that best coach regardless of what happened in the past. I certainly understand that line of thinking. I just think there are different levels and different layers to this head coaching search process, and I think it needs to be a thorough one because I think the Bulls' past two coaching searches, quote unquote, after firing Tom Thibodeau, were not exactly searches, right? We were hearing Fred Hoiberg's name a year before Tibbs actually got canned, and it was Gar's guy who Gar was obsessed with because, again, the state of Iowa. And then we kind of were already hearing things before Fred got fired that Fred's on the hot seat and Jim Boylan's going to come in and take his job. And that's what happened without a coaching search. And then even after Boylan took over to finish the 18-19 season before the 19-20 season, instead of doing a coaching search along with evaluating Jim's job performance in that half a season, they just didn't do a coaching search and gave Jim an extension. So I think obviously Bulls fans right now are hoping that this coaching search that AK and his staff will likely embark upon and hopefully soon is a thorough one. And I am putting my faith and my trust in them as people who have proven with their resumes to be better at their jobs than John was at his and Gar was at his to make that right hire. Now, if they decide that Tibbs is that guy for whatever reason, and that's just a total, complete hypothetical if at this point, if that happens, then I'll get behind it because I'm getting behind them right now. I just was trying to highlight all the reasons in which it's not only unlikely because of the bad blood and the history that exists, but also not necessarily a strong move in the we're moving forward, not staying in purgatory or moving backward line of thinking that I want myself, fellow fans, and the organization itself to be putting actions behind those thoughts right now. Move forward. So that's that. But I certainly appreciate and understand the other thought of, hey, whoever that best coach is, whether it's Tibbs or somebody else, take the best coach available. I get that. And I think Bulls fans just want that that next person, assuming we move on from Jim Boylan, to be somebody who can have their voice resonate with these players, can get these players to develop some chemistry together, can improve their individual talents, and actually get this rebuild off the ground and get the Bulls back towards competition and relevancy. That's what it's all about. Thanks for the text. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening. And thanks to our sponsors today and this week, rockauto.com, Built Bar, Blinkist, all of the sponsors on the Locked On Podcast Network. And again, if you would like to be a part of the movement, you can go to lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter to find out more about what we, the hosts of the Locked On Podcast Network, are doing to help this movement and what the network is doing to equal our donations. So for my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. If you're looking for some more podcast action, I did a guest spot on the Bulls on Tap pod with Buzz and Keith. Good dudes. We had a fun conversation. That episode dropped last night, Thursday night. So go give that a listen if you haven't already. And we will be back on Monday of next week with a fresh episode. Enjoy the weekend. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com